En discussion portant sur les questions actuelles.
Unter dem Titel gesprochen, das Ende der Philosophie und die Aufgabe des Denkens.
Set Contra. Radio Filozoficzne.
Today I have an honor to talk with Professor John Perry, a distinguished professor of philosophy at the University of California at Riverside and Stanford University. Good afternoon, Professor.
Hi, how are you, Martin? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing very good, thank you, Professor. Thanks for coming to Warsaw for the conference.
Well, it's a beautiful city, I'm happy to be here.
Together with Professor Ken Taylor, you host a very popular radio program, Philosophy Talk, where together with invited guests, you're having conversations on a wide variety of issues, ranging from popular culture to our most deeply held beliefs about science. The radio has been very, very successful so far, inspiring many people. Professor, could you tell us about the beginnings? How did you come up with an idea to start a radio? How did you team up with Professor Ken Taylor? And how did the radio evolve in time?
So the idea for Philosophy Talk, it was my idea years and years ago. I listened to Car Talk on the radio, which is two guys in Boston who know about cars, and people call in with questions and they give answers that are quite useful but sometimes funny. And I thought, well, philosophy's much more interesting than cars.
Right.
And so maybe we should have Philosophy Talk. And I had a friend, I still have a friend named David Israel, and he and I were very funny when we'd get together, so I thought we'd make a good team, but he wasn't interested at all. So maybe 10 years after that, Ken Taylor came to Stanford, and I broached the idea to him, and he was very enthusiastic. And Ken is a very type A person, if you know what that means. I mean, when he's got something to do, he does it. So he went out to the provost, John Etchemendy, who also happens to be a philosopher, and he got some money so that we could make a trial.
Right.
Then we went up to the public radio convention in Seattle, and we went around to various program directors and to see if they liked the idea. Well, none of them liked the idea very much. But we did find a fellow named Ben Manila, who's a producer, and he thought it was a very interesting idea. And he said, well, we should come and make another tape with him that would be better and think a little more about what the show could have in it besides straight philosophy. And he thought we could put something together. So that proved very propitious. And so we decided to have a show that had the main part is Ken and I talking to a third person, usually somebody who's just written a book or an article. But we also have a couple of things that make it a little lighter and a little more agreeable to the program directors. One is the roving philosophical reporter, and the other one is the comedian Merle Kessler at the end. So it's a little bit more like a variety show, and we started with just one station in San Francisco, KALW, and then with Oregon Public Broadcasting. The woman in charge of that liked it very much. But now we have well over 100 stations around the U.S., and we're also on the Internet. So it's done pretty well.
Oh, yes, it's right. We could see nationwide all states mm-hmm. that could, on a public radio, mm-hmm. listen to the show. Could you lift a little of veil of secrecy and tell us how about the preparation of radio programs? I know there's the whole of team, many people that do research and probably many days of preparation for each Sunday audition yeah. that we could listen to.
Well, it's not too bad, but it starts with undergraduates. We have a team of undergraduates who think about topics. And if they find a topic they think is interesting, they tell us about it. We have a dinner once a quarter, once every 3 months, and they pitch the shows they think are interesting. They say, I think we ought to have a show on Sartre or Leshnevsky. I don't think that's come up yet, but I'm sure it will soon. And then they do a little bit of research about who the guests might be. And then if we decide that's a show we want to do, they put together a research report, which I'm not saying I always read all of it, but it's usually very useful. Then the way the show works is there's an opening about 10-minute segment, a little less, where Ken and I lay out the basic ideas and explain the basic words. So if we have a show on democracy, we might spend a little time saying just what the different theories of democracy are and the different problems are. Then we and that is scripted. We actually write it out ahead of time, because we want to make sure that it sounds good and that it draws people in and gets them over any fear they might have that they wouldn't understand this show. Then we stop. We have the roving philosophical reporter who usually goes out and talks to people, maybe philosophers, maybe people on the street about the show. In the case of a democracy show, maybe she's talked to some protesters.
Shuka Kalantari, am I correct?
Shuka Kalantari, that's the current one. She's very, very good. So she gives about a 5 or 6 minute report. Then we have the guest on. From then on, it's unscripted.
Right.
We have a basic outline of, so we have the rest of the first session till about 20 after, then the second session till about 20 till the next hour, and then the last session, the last 20 minutes. So we have a basic idea of what we want to talk about, but aside from that, we just converse with the guest. And almost always, it's a pretty good conversation. Sometimes you get someone who's a little defensive and doesn't really want to tell you what they think, and sometimes you get someone who's so sure that they're right that they don't see any reason for Ken and I to say anything.
Do they?
But mostly it works out pretty well. And so that's how the show works. And
yes.
then it's put on the internet, and you can get it free for a week. And then if you have to pay a couple bucks if you want it after that.
The philosophy talk is a great source for people who want to listen to a non-academic philosophy, but rather a bar conversation about various issues. But today some people say that we can see a decline in the interest in philosophy. Some universities try to attract students and encourage them to study philosophy. In your opinion, Professor, how important is philosophy nowadays? Not only for students, but for everybody. What role does it play in contemporary world? Is it worth for older people to study, to read philosophical books?
Yeah, those are good questions. Now, I've always had a view that goes like this. If you go to any sixth grade classroom in America, that's about 30 students, there'll be one of those students, at least one, maybe not a very good student, maybe a really good student. But as the teacher's lecturing, they're not paying attention. They're wondering if the teacher is really conscious. if a new policy comes up, they don't really pay attention to the details of the policy, but they wonder who had a right to make that decision.
Right.
So these kids should become philosophers. But if you look at the number of philosophy majors, say, that we have at Stanford, it falls far short of that. One in 30, you know, it's so I've always thought that philosophy should be of more interest to more undergraduates and to more people in general, because I think I don't think that philosophy is something that everyone is interested in, but I think that a lot of people have a natural interest in philosophy, and often they don't discover it until too late. In America, unlike some countries, particularly countries with a Catholic tradition, in America, high schools, junior high schools, pre-college, very little philosophy, and usually just tangential to other courses, history courses. So often you get students at Stanford who are in their junior or senior year before they take their first philosophy course, then they fall in love with it, but it's too late. So So I've done various things over the years trying to get philosophy into the freshman curriculum. But then, aside from college students, I'll stay with college students for a minute. I have lots of good advice for college students. College students should not assume, I'm talking about the American situation, I'm not sure it applies everywhere, but at Stanford, you have to have 180 quarter units to graduate. So about 30 are taken up with general requirements, and your major will take up maybe 60 or 70. So you have plenty of units to experiment around with. And you shouldn't think that your major has to be what you're most interested in. Your major is a practical decision. How do I get a job? What am I good at? But the other units take are an even more practical decision, or they may amount to it. Who am I? What do I really care about? When you get to college, your head is full of stuff that has been poured into it by your parents and your church and your community and your government. And college is one of the few opportunities that people really have to say, I'm going to hold that up and say, do I really believe it? Do I really care about it? And to find out who they really are. And so it's a shame to go through college and just focus on your major and not do that. So you can major in philosophy and do something else to prepare for a job. You can major in something that gets you ready for a job and experience a lot of philosophy. And then, of course, for some of us, it turns out to be a job, but that's not the major focus. Everyone has to come to some conclusion about who they are and who they care about. And if you do it thoughtlessly, if you don't use all the resources of the great thinkers of the past to help you figure out what the issues are and what the options are, that's really a shame. But then beyond that, as you mentioned, older people, people who are through college, but they may not have gotten to read everything they wanted in college. Philosophy can be very valuable to them too. And of course, in a world full of lying politicians and cheating bankers and manipulative TV shows, and so forth, it's very good to have a sense of logic, a sense of what we can know and what we can't know. So philosophy, in a way, is the most useful thing you can do.
That's right. It's amazing that philosophy can help us answer such questions as who we are, what we want to do, what we want to achieve in a future life.
Yes.
For potential students, do pay attention to philosophical courses. Thank you, Professor, very much for the conversation. Thank you for coming to Warsaw and devoting time to our radio. Well, I've been talking to Professor John Perry, the host of a program, Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Right. Thank you for listening, and thank you for thinking.
Yes, and thank you for interviewing.
Thank you, Professor.
That's great. Good.
En discussion portant sur les questions actuelles.
Weißt du, bei Kohle glauben nicht so klein, wie sie was lieben.
Unter dem Titel gesprochen, das Ende der Philosophie und die Aufgabe.